little bit more, a little bit more. We're going to have communion today. That's an important time, don't you agree? Fellowship with God, communicating with God, being able to ignite and be blessed. I don't know about you, but communion not only brings a spiritual attachment, it brings a physical healing to your body. It is a complete package in the areas of God's blessing. So ushers, please, as you have liberty, please take your liberty and let's have ourselves a good old time in the Lord. I've been sharing about persuasion, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. On Wednesday night, I shared about the beginning positive aspects dealing with Abraham, dealing with Daniel, and even dealing in the book of Acts with Paul before Agrippa, how he was almost persuaded to become born again. And you have Daniel, who made such an influence by eating vegetables where everybody else was eating the meat from the king. And he said, God, give me 10 days, you know, and watch us and see what happens. So persuasion not only has a verbal communication by definition, but it has a visual also. And that's what Wednesday night we went over. And then, of course, in the book of Romans in chapter 4, it shares about Abraham wasn't wavering at all, but fully persuaded that what God said he was able to do and perform and to fulfill it. Well, today I'm going to talk about, same thing, the power of persuasion, but I'm going to talk about an intent in this area to the wicked intent to mislead someone. The wicked intention to mislead someone. So the wicked intent, a wicked intent to mislead. And that just means this. In the Bible, you're going to have people that have powerful persuasion that are able to mislead people as well as to lead them properly. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me, but today I'm going to be focusing. Well, I found out that ladies have a lot more persuasion than men seem to have. Even though there were some kings that, you know, did a little disruption here and there and disrupted a nation. Women in the Bible change history by causing, and not being negative, I'm just saying these certain ones that I'm going to talk about, by causing their husbands to inappropriately do what was not God. And it didn't matter if you was a king, didn't matter if you were a servant, a warrior, there's always someone that you're attached to. So ladies, that's how much power you got, the power of persuasion. And one of the things we got to realize, and women, let me tell you what, that's a powerful tool. Amen. You know how you can make your husband mad in a minute, right? Just like that. That's a persuasion. That's a movement. Amen. You can have them be happy in a minute too. They'll be happy. You can make them happy because there's a persuasion. There's an influence over the lives of those that you care about. A stranger cannot persuade me. A stranger cannot change my environment. They can treat me mean, but I'm going to let them affect me. I'm not going to let them change my environment. Everybody's being more strategic and specific. Bible says be vigilant and be alert. I don't know if anybody was watching the news last night, but they just took down, we were waiting for forensic identification, which is DNA identification, that they took down one of the leading terrorists that's been wanted on the most wanted list. Now, I really appreciate President Trump, and you might not agree, but I appreciate that he doesn't tell everybody what he's doing. Because simply said, if I told everybody what I was doing, the enemy would hear me too. It's good to educate the body of Christ. It's good to educate people. And that was on his watch. And they were waiting for, this is on local news, forensic, which is the DNA approval. Nowadays, when they do that and they take down a heavy wanted person in terrorism that's hurting people all over the world, after they take them down, they draw their blood right there. They tap it and they send it to their commander waiting, making sure that that identification is the person that it is. Isn't it amazing the technology we live in today? Well, we got a DNA that's straight up. My DNA runs through Christ first, not this way. This is my family. I appreciate that. But it starts here. Because if your DNA is attached to Christ, your life ends here, and there's not going to be a happy ending in where you're going. Amen? So today I want you to focus on being a positive persuasion. Even though I'm going to be sharing the negative aspects of how someone can persuade someone to do something totally against God and change the course of history, change the course of mankind. So women, buckle up. Don't get mad. Next week we'll talk about men, you know, when I get up here again. And it's about the Bible teaching us, because there's powerful women in the Bible of powerful persuasion. And I can go through those names right now. Ruth, Sarah, there's so many. Rahab, and we talked about them. But today we're going to talk about probably the seven most wanted in the Bible at that time. Amen? So bear with me in Jesus' name. Thank you.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let us take and eat together. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let us take and drink together. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Down just a little bit more, please, Samuel. Thank you, Father, and bless you for this day, the opportunity, just the open window from heaven that we have, and this time that we have to minister the word. Father, we thank you for your persuasion in our life. We thank you for your blessings in our life. We thank you for guiding us, the influence that you have by the power of the Holy Spirit present on this earth to guide us and give us that influence that is necessary. Thank you for this time of communion, that we have the breath to breathe, hands to praise, legs to stomp on the enemy's head. We thank you, God, that we have every privilege given to us from heaven. But we thank you, God, today that you would touch us as your children. And we bless you, bless the children and the children's church, all the teachers and all that labor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. God is that good, huh? Remember that we have an ongoing campaign on beautifying God's house. Ongoing campaign, which means we're already taking bids from three different contractors for AC that would not be so extravagant on the roof, trying to do some other levels. We've already engaged with a landscaping company because for 20 years we've been here this February for 20 years celebration, but we have now an extended contract, and I shared with you what A&B did in doing what they did, and that doesn't happen in the physical realm without a spiritual booster. So we got to change here because it's buckled up and things are happening. Not major things, but things to cool down the room, taking advantage. During the winter, you get better deals with AC because it's not needed. During the summer, it's needed. They jack it up by about 30, 40%, which is true. It's amazing how the world operates. We don't operate that way. We operate by positive persuasion, which means first, we trust God and believe in him. Secondly, we make every motion to go. And you might say, well, you know, I have hard times too. Well, there's a time in the Bible over and over again they neglected the house of God. And when they did that, we found neglect in our own life. Yeah, it's an old theater, but once God's presence came here, it's not a theater no more. It's a house of worship. It's a place of praise. Not because I'm here, not because you're here, although we're important. It's because God is here. And even when I come down, I teach my son during the day when I'm here in the office, I turn off the lights when I come and bring an offering. I turn off the lights. And I tell him, close your eyes. Walk into the dark, open it. The littlest light will give you guidance. And he said, how can we turn off the lights, Dad? I said, because sometimes our eyes deceive us not to feel the presence of God, to know the presence of God being here. And it actually does work because we walk too much by sight and not by faith. Faith is trusting God. But I do that for me. I actually block it out. And I make sure so when I walk in, I don't have any visual hindrances. I just have to trust and want to not just feel by my feelings in the flesh, but my spirit connecting to God. Because I don't know about you, but I'm blessed when my prayers get answered. I'm blessed when I'm praying for others and I see them answered. Don't got to brag about it. Just praise God all about it. Give him the praise. But he's in movement right now. And that means no matter what's going on, his movement is going to transfer things into the body of Christ and his children and then release them into the body of Christ as well as the world. Because we're supposed to be a light, not a fright. Amen. Come on. People are supposed to look at us as we're supposed to be a light unto this world, not a fright. People get afraid. Amen. So we need to really focus. But again, don't get mad today, okay, please. Don't get mad. Because I'm going to talk about probably at least the five or six most wanted women in the Bible. Not wanted in desire, but wanted as probably that terrorist that was taken down too. But they didn't have DNA confirmation in those days. Let's turn to the Word of God. Again, I'm talking about the power of persuasion. The second part of this message and today is a wicked intent to mislead. In other words, there's a difference between a motive and an intention. They have different definitions. We're going to turn and open the book of Galatians 5. But no, I'm not going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit on this one, although we need the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look at Galatians 5:7-8. So we're talking about a wicked intent to mislead. That means there's an intention in you that's by the motivation of your heart to accomplish something to cause somebody to not do the right thing. So the word starts in Galatians 5:7 with a positive opening, and this is what it says. You were runners, listen, you were runners of a good race. Who cut you off? And who cut in? This is an English translation. Who cut you off and cut in to keep you from obeying the truth? Basically, you're running a good race, but what happened? Did somebody get in there? Did somebody compromise you? And then it says in verse 8, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Father, we thank you. Bless you for this word, because we know that you didn't call us to do that. You called us to run the race and to finish the race and finish it strong. Thank you today for everyone in this house to take this word to their friends, their workplaces, share it in encouragement. We don't got to preach it. We just got to live it and share it in truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Verse 9 will show what this all means, and it simply means this. It says, a little yeast, you know this, a little leaven, what does it do? Damage the whole bunch. Isn't that my birthday?
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. God bless you. I thought you were going to lay on Honolulu. It's his birthday over there. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. God bless you. Ah, thanks, Lord. Thank you. Thanks, sister. I appreciate it. Oh, I feel like I'm graduating. I feel younger, like knock 20, 30 years off my life. Okay, maybe you're knocking 35, 40 years off my life, but praise the Lord. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
I'll hold out as long as I can with these things. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, that's okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Samuel. God bless you. Samuel just made 18 today. Tell you. Growing up and doing what God had called him to do. I believe that you need to encourage dreams. I believe that we shouldn't put upon our children our dreams that did not come through or didn't press in the way we wanted them to. I believe, and this is my heart, I believe firmly that God wants and has imparted into each individual a life that brings forth dreams and successes that they want to do, the things that's tugging on their heart. I don't raise my son to do what I do and be what I am. I raise my son to just stay close to God and follow the pattern. I tell him, you can be anything you want to be. I did not grow up in that atmosphere. I grew up in a different atmosphere, no condemnation, that would always say, just stay where you are, it's okay. You know, that's not what maybe you're supposed to do, and you don't have enough money to do that, to go to college. I grew up in that poor mentality like they do in China. And they keep their children in the rice paddies and tell them just that, this is what we do, this is all we do. That's not the God that we serve. That is not the true God that we serve. He wants us to fulfill our dreams. He doesn't want us to get greedy or lusting on things, but he wants us to accomplish the task that he has put before us. That's why I said, I called you to run a race. Who got in the way? What happened? Something happened. And then, you know, he says it very simply, and he says it in 8. He said, that kind of persuasion, English translation, that kind of persuasion, that's not for me. I didn't say that. Maybe somebody said that, that you heard here on this earth. And no condemnation. We love everybody, amen. But I don't like a lot of people. I don't like how they live. I don't like what they talk about. I don't like how they discourage others. I encourage young people. I do my best to support young people. Why? Because that's their life, not ours. We want them to follow a pattern that sometimes it is that we want them to be safe. We want them to be secure. But I got news for you. Our persuasion is not to be manipulative in the life of even the young people. Yes, they need to be corrected when they're young. But there comes a time when you got to let them be who they are, because you train them up to be who they are, not to be who you are. Amen. I believe that when a pastor passes on an anointing or a call in the life of someone that may be taking over that church, and that pastor, whatever the case may be, one of the great things that I heard over the past and still doing was Bishop Suwala got that same thing from Pastor Lobo. He said, you're not supposed to fill my shoes. You wear your shoes and take it from here. Why? Because those shoes got you to there. But that shoes ain't going to take you the rest. Yeah. You need to stand in the shoes you've been called to walk in. You've been in the anointing that God has given you. Yes, I'll take that impartation. And why am I saying that? There's a strong persuasion that is not of God circulating right now. God's movement does not bring that. God's movement brings peace, comfort. And I tell you, where God is, there is no confusion.
Okay.
None whatsoever. Doesn't mean you won't be challenged. Amen. I'm a challenged child. I come from a dysfunctional phone. I was going to say phone. My phone is dysfunctional. Every 2 years it gets dysfunctional. I come from a dysfunctional home. And you know, I grew up and had to make changes as I became born again, meaning that when I received Christ, I went through a process in my flesh, still going through it, going, wow, that's pretty messed up. You know, thinking how I acted, the things I went through, not to live in condemnation, but to know that God is so gracious and so merciful that really, we got to just thank Him for saving us.
Amen.
Seriously, I think so anyway. So again, I want to show it in that scripture. This kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So God called you. We know that Romans 8 and 28 says what? All things work together for the good to them who love God, who are called according to His purpose, not ours. So you got to be called by God for His purpose. And let me tell you, His purpose is great. Amen? It is. Verse 9 says, a little yeast or a little leaven, yeah, works through the whole bunch. So just a little bit, just a little bit. I displayed that years ago once by bringing a cup of water here, and I put one drop of shoyu in it. One drop. And the whole water got tainted. Because it's dark, right? It's a salted product. It's for flavoring. But one drop took care of that glass of water. Not a lot of drops. Not portion drops according to the substance of how much water was in the glass. But one drop of wickedness can start to taint the whole bunch already. One drop of evil can start to work its way through darkness. And that's why God shared this. I'm going to take you back in time very short, and I'm going to go through these women so that nobody gets mad at me. I'll keep it short and tight so that when I leave, everybody's happy and I can't get hunted down. But the bottom line is, it starts in the garden. It starts in Genesis. And Eve was persuaded. Oops. Eve was convinced, persuaded. Can you put that on the pulpit, please? Thank you. Thank you. I love those ladies. She was persuaded by the serpent, right, to take and eat. But my focus in just a minute or two is to focus on her persuasion over her husband. See, her persuasion by the serpent is one thing. But the man of God heard the word of God. And we got to be real careful as men of God. If you know you heard God, and no condemnation, but you let your wife persuade you out of that word, God doesn't care. He's not biased. No, and He shows no favoritism. So if I hear a word, I'm not going to argue with my wife. I'm going to say, no, I really believe this. I believe this is true. A couple of times, Pastor Bobby has told me, what? How do you know? And I said, I won't know until I make that decision. I live by that. And yet in the garage many years ago, when we were at Church of God, and I was having a Bible study, I came up from truck driving, we set up the garage and everything. I was sitting there, and God spoke to my heart, and He said, Rocky, I will not use a man that will not make a decision. I would rather you make a decision. If you're wrong, correct it, learn from it, and move forward. But you need to live a life of decision, because you can't go from permission to approval. You've got to make decisions so I can bring approval to your life. Learn through me, through the Word of God, and apply what you learn. That's wisdom. Knowledge not used is foolish. You just got all this smart up here and you don't do nothing, but walk around going, I got all this knowledge. I went to 4 colleges, graduated all of them. But you're not doing anything with it? That's not wisdom. Wisdom is the application of that which you have learned. Yes. Basic yes. Teaching. Amen?
Yes.
So we're in the book of Genesis. So what happened is, and we're then, chapter 3 is where you read this, but she listened to the serpent, Eve, and she was misled. But then her powerful persuasion over her husband misled him over the word of God. Over the covenant that God gave. That's where it started. And one of the most powerful persuasions we would ever know about, bringing sin to mankind. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm telling you where it started. Doesn't it always seem to start in Genesis? Doesn't it always seem to start somewhere? Now, he's responsible for his actions. He'll get his turn later. Amen? Not today. Today, we're looking at the 5 or 6 most wanted women in the Bible. Amen? Amen. They got their posters up and everything. Amen. So Eve did what he did. Now, we come to a place where there was a wife of a man that stood in great stature under Pharaoh. Joseph brought into Egypt and taken in, sold into slavery, but now he's in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife persuades her husband that Joseph made advanced moves toward her in rape, basically accused of rape, right? So he's convinced. But yet, knowing his wife, he knew, it says if you study, he knew that something was wrong. But he got to save face. So he's persuaded that the man he trusted with everything he had, except his wife, now went after his wife. Now, it's easy to understand maybe in today's world, but this man showed himself to prove not to be that way. But he went to prison anyway. That persuasion caused a man to go to prison innocent. But God still has a plan, and his plan will never be disrupted. But I'm not here to transfer any kind of ideas to you. I'm here to tell you, second most wanted woman in the Bible. Post her up. Made that choice. We come into the book of Judges, and oh my gosh, we have another gal named Delilah. Ooh, pretty girl. Amen. Her profession was prostitution. That means she promoted what she did. Prostitution. And Samson took a liking. Samson was one of the most powerful called men in the Bible. Covenant under power to never cut his hair. Amen. A Levite. A power in the Levitical areas of his commitment. Amen. A Nazarite in the manner of his commitment in the covenant made with God under the vows. In other words, that was like one of the first powers in who he was walking upon the earth. Was strong and mighty, amen, but couldn't cut his hair. Now, I don't know why God said that, but that doesn't matter, amen. Brother couldn't cut his hair, hallelujah. I know a lot of people use that in their children, and they're messed up, man. Their hair is long, and they're all messed up, amen. So you got to have a covenant to let your hair grow. I know you're on it, brother. Where's the other one? Did he run away? Where did he go? Someplace? There he is over there. Oh, don't you sit low in that chair. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for modern-day Nazarites. John the Baptist was a Nazarite, promised from the womb and brought power through it. But what happened was Delilah convinced, after playing games Samson did with her, in revealing to her the power of the covenant, which was his hair, not to be cut by a vow, a Nazarene. And what I want to tell you right now, man, thank you, son, she is on the most wanted list. So you might say, well, it was Samson's problem. And it was. He was convinced. But don't you know, a nation changed because of it. A people were suppressed because of it. And the enemy rose up again. The Philistines took place in their kingdom. Now in the end, we know what happened. He put himself between the pillars being led. His eyes were poked out. He was blinded. And he took down there 3,000 that day, more than ever in his whole time in the 20 years of ministry with God. He took down the Philistines that day and all that brought mockery. But he made choices. And those choices were made under persuasion. And his persuasion was through lust and through sexual areas. Those are dangerous areas also. Most wanted. She's on the wall too. Now we have the one that had the big poster, you know, the 10 by 10. And her name was Jezebel. And she had strong influence over a king. And we know the story. And one of the most intense things is, you know, the king wanted the land, Naboth's land, and the field, and he told him no, and he went home and cried. Men, don't go home and cry to your wife. Be men. Oh, you don't like that. Some of you cry to your wife, huh? I didn't say don't cry unto the Lord. I said don't cry to your wife. They didn't let me have the land. I couldn't go fishing with the boys. They don't want me to play golf because I can't play golf very good. Whatever that complaint might have been that day, or you know, I don't have any friends. I don't know what it is. I told you the complaint department shut down, right? Yeah, foreclosure. Right. Yeah. They lost it all. They're cut, they're shut. Heaven doesn't have a complaint department, and earth it's shut down. It's shut down. You have to write letters to yourself and then pray. So we have Jezebel, through the power of persuasion, caused her husband, the king, to draw up papers by her words and then put his seal upon it. Taken to a place where they had a meeting which brought the death of Naboth. What a persuasion. Changed the kingdom. Yeah. Prophecy came in. Elijah came into that. God prophesied how she would die. God prophesied that the dogs would lick her blood. And you might say, that's gross. You should read your Bible. It's powered. Yeah. When God says it, that settles it. It's not a threat. He's saying, this is how it's going to be for her persuasion. This is what's going to happen to that king. This is going to go down the way it does. God, just as much as he blesses you with the promises of everyday prosperity of life, he has areas that he don't like. And if he says it, don't matter what you think or I think about it, he's going to do it. I've lived long enough, served him enough decades already to say he is great and mighty to be praised. Same yesterday, today, and forever. A merciful, giving, loving God. Jesus Christ throned on the right hand side and knowing to call upon him. His salvation power is for everyone. One thing I love about God is he loves the homeless person just as much as he loves me. He loves me just as much as he loves that homeless person. He's not biased. He doesn't show favoritism. He gives favor upon his children to accomplish their task. But we got to be on the most wanted for heaven list. Amen. Not the other side. We should have 20 by 20s. Okay, let me see what we got here. Nazarite. I said he was a Nazarite. Yeah. I said in the Levitical, yeah, the bill of call. Because he was a judge and a... What was Samson? A judge and a... A what? He operated as... At time. Never mind. Anyways. Yes, he was a Nazarite. Okay. And I did say that. So, one of the things about him is that he had the power to persuade. Just like Jezebel had the power to persuade her husband. Her husband had the power to go, you know what, if you don't want to give me the land right now, it's not for me. I can do that later. But he convinced her through his weeping and moaning and crying that he thought exactly what he thought to do is to whine about what he didn't have. And therefore what happened was she persuaded him to set Naboth up in front of certain counselors, and he was killed and executed. She is on that list, but there was another woman in the New Testament. And there's others, but I need to go right there. Herodias, I believe is how you pronounce her name. And her daughter of great beauty. Now, Herodias was a woman. She was actually the granddaughter of Herod, another Herod. And she married her two uncles. That's who they were. So she married her two uncles, in process. Could not persuade her husband to kill or murder John the Baptist, which is what she wanted. She wanted him executed because he made comment to her over a balcony that they were in, and he shouted it out loud enough. So she arranged the birth. She arranged the birthday for Herod in honor of Herod. But she knew she couldn't convince, so she asked her daughter to dance before the guests and before the mighty one sitting there and doing. I believe her name is pronounced, it's not Salome, it's Salome. S-A-L-O-M-E is her name. But it means, it comes, it's derived from Shalom, which is peace, power, prosperity unto you. But that's her name. And there's another woman named that has a very good woman, and she's a wonderful woman. But today I'm talking about the other wanted list. And so now she danced before the guests, and Herod and his guests, they were drinking. How many know when you're drinking, you see things a little differently?
Oh, yeah.
Eh? Blur vision, you know. And now let me just educate you, and I'm not saying you don't know, but in those days when these dancers came out, they weren't fully dressed. They came out of Vegas. Amen. Just saying. And she was one of those dancers. When I went and looked it up, I was like, whoa, man. You know, this is why it was persuading the men, because mostly men in there, there's some women. Amen. And the women are only going, because they don't want the men to get down on them. They're like, this girl, look at her. But, you know, she was out of Vegas, probably, and I don't know, anyways. But anyway, so she was dancing, but she was dancing very promiscuously. She was dancing with only half her clothing on. You get me? Yeah. So you got to envision this, yeah, topless, exactly. Sister Wanda knows. And so she was dancing topless, you know, and the men are drunk, going, whoa, what a good dancer. They don't care about her dancing. They're watching her dancing. Anyways, so she was very pretty, and she also put on a performance, which in those days they didn't just do that, you know. They did like the belly dancing and all these other things that I'm not going to even try to perform in this house right now. So if I had some bells, I'd ring it for you and say it sounded like that. But so after she was done, her dancing was so overpowering. Herod says this. He says, I vow and made a vow to you today. I will give you anything you ask, even up to half my kingdom. Mark chapter 6 and verse 23. But what she did is she didn't ask for half the kingdom, and she didn't ask for anything other than go to her mom and say, what should I ask for? So Herodias was the one that had the persuasion. She persuaded her daughter to dance. She persuaded her to have a party, a big party for him. She did all this persuasion just to set up one motivation and one intent. To execute the forerunner. We know that God knows all things and all things are placed in. So she told the daughter, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And it says, she consulted with her mom, and in persuasion to pray her own daughter, shocked Herod and all the guests in the room when she said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Once that was said, it had to be done. So those things were executed. Like I said, this isn't a long message. I didn't want to get the ladies really mad because there was some more in there, you know, that I could have gone with. But the bottom line is that in every situation, there was a persuasion. An intense persuasion. A persuasion done by a conflict of interest against heaven. But there had to be something that all of these had in common. A personal relationship with the one they persuaded. So there wasn't just some stranger off the street. It wasn't just some family member from a distant place that you meet once in a while or you see at a wedding or a service of celebration of life, a funeral, whatever you want to call it. It wasn't that kind of persuasion. A stranger off the street cannot persuade me. My family actually has a hard time. They're not going to even get in there. My family, yeah, we won't go there. Because once I gave my life to Christ, I have one persuader. That's Jesus Christ. It shouldn't come against my wife or my son or the body of Christ. Those persuasions should be a blessing, always an increase, always a help. But we're supposed to support each other. We're supposed to help each other to grow. And since we don't know the future, we both have to depend and trust in God. That's the person that knows. He knows where you're going. He knows where you've been. He knows where you are. Families, we only know where you've been and where you are. We don't know where you're going. So to take the place of God and say, well, this is what you got to do. This is where you're going. This is what I want. That doesn't work. Or this is how you got to do it. Let me tell you what. Some of the greatest lessons I learned, and I'm not encouraging people to make mistakes, is through my mistakes. Because I was willing to learn through them. But you got to learn through them. Not repeat the process thinking you're going to get different results. This is not about religion. This is not about culture. Heaven has no culture. You don't have sections in heaven of every nationality. You're not divided. It's a unity like we don't know or never heard about. It's a power that we cannot even conceive sometimes on this earth because of the unification that God brings through the power of the Holy Spirit on this earth, and everybody's still fighting in the churches against each other. I'm not in competition with the pastors. I'm not in competition with the body. I'm in competition with myself to walk with God. Struggling every day. Struggling. Why? Because my flesh wants to go, no, don't do that. Don't help them. You know what they're going to do. It's like God telling you, I want you to take $100 out of your wallet and give it to that homeless guy drinking the vodka. What? You know, Lord, then you reason with God. Lord, I'm going to help his habit. I'm going to enable him to help, you know, I'm going to help his habit. That $100, I mean, he could buy a lot of liquor, drugs. God didn't ask us a question. He gave a direction. Obedience doesn't make sense. It builds faith. Doesn't make sense. Why I'm sharing that is sometimes God will test us on those grounds, help us on those grounds. He'll tell you to do something that seems out of your reach, because as Pastor Bobby shared this morning, the leadership, the word is clear. What we have obtained isn't what we're supposed to hope for. We're supposed to hope for what we have not obtained yet. The Bible says you waste your time when you put your hope in something you already got. Hope to obtain the things, the power, so that we can witness and bring forth that glory of God. Amen. So we have these women. I'm not gonna go any further. I want to just keep those women on the block right there. Because I think those two, now the daughter of Herodias, she was kind of negligent in her own mind. She wasn't thinking anything. She was just doing what mama told her. But look at the influence over that daughter. I want you to focus one more time on what I'm about to say. Every situation here had a personal relationship. So nobody's going to persuade you that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, that has something that you believe in them with, that you trust them for. The enemy's very cunning. You just have to be tapped into God all the time. In Acts 21:14, it says this. And it talks about Paul. It says, when it was clear, this is a positive, when it was clear that we couldn't persuade Paul, we gave up and said, all right, the Lord's will be done. How many times have you tried to tell people that God is telling me this, but no, don't do it. That's what they were doing. They were telling them, don't go to Jerusalem. You're going to get in trouble there. They're waiting for you there, Paul. Things are going to happen to you. And he said, well, no, I'm going to go. And one of the things he said after that too is he said, listen, doesn't really bother me. Those that loved Paul did not want him to go because they cared for him. It wasn't because they wanted to hinder God's movement, but guess what? They would have hindered God's movement. If he listened and went into that net relationship, those people he walked with, he talked with, had fellowship with. But Paul said, I am not only willing to go to prison, but I'm willing to give my life for Jesus Christ. If you look at that verse very clearly. Boy, how can we be so persuaded I love the scripture, you know, in Revelation where it says, I overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. But let's finish it. And love not my life unto death. You cannot show fear in that area. Remember, my pastor told me, never let the enemy see you sweat. I sweat all the time, so I think it's a natural state of being for me, whether I'm in a cool or if I'm in a hot room. So those that loved him wanted to persuade him, not because they didn't care about him, but because they cared about him. Sometimes somebody will try to persuade you because they love you, they care about you. But God has a plan for you. He loves and cares about you too. But he cares about the work that you can do and the continual work that you'll do. Every day of our life, we have to focus on what God wants. It's, God, what do you want? Let me tell you something about age. God don't care. He don't care how old you are. He don't care how young you are. What God really sees is what you're willing to yield to him. Will you submit? When we first opened the first church on Air Street out of the garage, one of the things God gave me was submit or be defeated. Easy word to understand, huh? In other words, if I don't submit to him, the enemy is going to have a way to defeat me in the areas of my battles because I'm not serving God. I'm not walking with God. I'm just doing what I want to do for God. You know, there's a difference between doing something for God and with God. We showed that before. With is having the support and the help, doing it with you. You don't have to be there, but I'm supporting and helping you. But if I'm doing it for you, I might get mad if I don't get what I want, so I might not do it for you anymore. That's a worldly perspective of how we help each other. Well, I don't like the word I heard in church. Well, if it's in the Bible, what's your problem? What's our problem? It's in the Word. The Word is the truth that we have to stand by and live by because it has power. It has power to demonstrate, to deliver. We got to care more about the whole picture, the generation to come. Your children, my children, everybody's children. You don't know the next president. You don't know the next leader. You don't know the next evangelist. You don't know the next Billy Graham, the next Oral Roberts, the next Rhema power, you know, the next man that stands or the woman that stands in the power of God. You don't know the next Smith Wigglesworth. We don't know who they are, but God does. And if he puts them in your care, we're supposed to have a persuasion to bring them closer to God, not mislead them to do what we want them to. Amen. If you keep on frying chicken and bring people to church, when you run out of chicken, your church is going to be empty. It's going to be empty. So it's just, we should be here for Jesus Christ. We should be here for the same reason. So Paul, he was not persuaded by them, even though he knew that they loved him and they cared for him. And, you know, they wanted him to be safe. That's why he said, it doesn't, you know, I'm not only willing to go to prison because that's what was going to happen. I'm willing to die for Jesus Christ if that's what it's called to do. We might think, why would that be? Well, because Jesus knew exactly what God knew as well as what Paul knew, is that God wants us home one day. This is not home. We're sojourners. We enjoy this life. It's great, and we should fulfill our journey in life enjoying. You got to enjoy the ride. Amen. You can't just go through life not enjoying the ride, get to heaven. I didn't enjoy the ride. Can I go back and repeat? That doesn't work. But God will welcome us home. It's precious in his sight, the death of his saint. But I'm talking life, because up there it's life. The most powerful persuasion was the Lord Jesus himself. How so many heard but walked away. But the 12 stuck. Yes, one was a betrayer, set in place because somebody had to do it. His heart was already set to do what he was going to do. God knows everything about all things, about everyone, in everything. So don't think that God don't see it, know it, and trust. We got to trust him. Trust meaning we got to trust him. But the one thing that I always want to emphasize is that even though Jesus, to me, has the strongest persuasion, he always gives you free will. Never forced. Never forced. We can make mistakes every day. If you follow a man or a woman, you're going to make a mistake. Meaning that we should follow God. Paul says, don't follow me unless I follow Jesus. You got to know the way Jesus went in order to understand what you're following and how you're following. You've got to hear God for yourself. Read the Word. Connect with God. Connect with the Holy Spirit. Make sure you get a fresh baptism of the power. I pray this morning for the kids. A fresh baptism for the kids. Because we need them to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I didn't teach my son how to speak in tongues. He got baptized and spoke in tongues. That's God's business. I'm not saying we can't share with people, but we need to get our prayer language. When God decides to give you a prayer language, use it. He's not afraid. I pray in the morning in the pews with him. He goes off. I just let him go. I'm going to say, stop that. Don't say that. Just because I don't understand it. What are you saying? And it's a language that's not known to us, but the Holy Spirit knows that language. And while we're praying, it's a communication. In the body of Christ, sometimes it's difficult, but it's a communication with us and God, so we can deliver those things which are needed. But it's God who decides. And there has to be a desire. When I came off drugs, I had a desire to come off drugs. I wanted to come away from those things. So I got to do my part. My free will said, Lord, I need your help. I want out. I want to stop doing this. Didn't take rehab. But it did take restoration. And that came from God. Amen.
Amen.
Takes time. We have to be patient. We learn a lot of things about patience. So in that free will, God loves us, but we have the choice to manipulate or not. Children do it to parents. They weren't trained to manipulate. They trained themselves to manipulate. If they want something, you're always nicer. I was. When I wanted to use the car, I'd do everything that week. Does anything have to be done, Mom? Yeah. You know, I really want to help you. Yeah. Because come Saturday, can I go surfing? Can I use the car? Yeah. Well, I only have my permit, too. I didn't even have my license. I'm still asking to use the car. Break the law with me. Help me out. And there were times, I'm not going to encourage this, but I took the car without permission. My friends and I had a great time until I got home. Tried to shoot the hood down with water. But they're always smarter than me. Yeah, they knew I took it. Amen. Then you lose the privilege of like a month or two of it. You know? Yeah. And you might say, oh, you did that. That's terrible. I know it is. But the one thing good about it is I learned through my own mistakes, learned through my own ways of doing things. So I can see manipulation pretty far off. Even in the world, working in nightclubs, you manipulate. You manipulate alcohol. You manipulate drugs. You manipulate people. The music makes them rowdy. The music makes them softy and calm. When there was a fight that broke out, we turned the music down to soft, like dance, slow dance music. Because it's hard. You set the atmosphere. When you got this pounding music, oh, all the more they want to engage in physical confrontation. So we used to signal, we're a DJ to the phone. Huh? I mean, we had a phone to the DJ. Excuse me. How's that? We actually had a lifeline to turn on the music, make it soft. And then if it's really bad, turn off the music, turn on the lights. Everybody in there cannot see worth the darn there. They're all drunk. When God turns on his light, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be much more heavier than that. Because that light is so bright when Jesus shows up, it's going to be intense. Everybody's going to see, pop, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. That's how great God is. I share with the young people that trains in my home. I share with them. I said, the good news is, and I'm not going to go into full explanation. I told them, I said, after we die and we go to heaven, we get to come back. That's not the end of it. We get to come back and fulfill it. I heard a preacher say today, you can take this, I'm done. Yeah, you can take it, son. I heard a preacher say today on the radio, it was intended for us to live 1,000 years. And he said, man, you could pay off so many houses in 1,000 years. You could own so many cars, pass it on to your next generation. He said, I could do so much things in 1,000 years, I wouldn't even know what to do. Because we don't have 1,000 years. But he said, but if we did and had that original plan, how more blessed would we be? And to having that fulfillment and that desire completed in our lives. I don't know what 1,000 years would be like. Amen. I don't even know what some of you would look like. It'd be scary, I think, I'm sure. You know, I think mirrors would have to be disposed of because we'd be looking at each other going, whoa! How are you? 890? You know, but I don't know. I don't know. It always looks good in the Bible when I read that these guys didn't seem like they were all done out, man. It seemed like they were pretty good, you know, top shape. When Jesus carried that cross, he didn't take a weakling. Those crosses were very heavy. That burden was heavy. He carried it for us. Each and every one of us. Each and every one of your family. Each and every one that doesn't even know him or received him yet. He carried that cross, took that burden, took the pain, not only the whipping on the pole, not only that terrible incident that took place where his back was just riveted with these bone strip rips, but he took it on the cross, took the nails, took everything, took the spear in the side, just because he loved us. And because his Father sent him on a journey to fulfill. That is the greatest, to me, of all stories that could ever be told of a warrior that walked in integrity, a man that did not sin, a man that held everything together, even though he suffered in many ways, for you and me. For you and me. So yes, his persuasion was the only persuasion that could change the world. And still moving today in power, if we yield to him. We don't have to be perfect, I wouldn't qualify, but we have to be real, we have to be honest, and we have to move in the truth of God. Bible says the Holy Spirit is the spirit of what? Truth. So if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, then we got to maneuver there. The flesh gets stupid every now and then, amen? I know my memory, sometimes I run my testimonies together, they run like, they're not supposed to though, they cross over. Anybody got that? Just me, huh? Yes, thank you. I got some young people are raising their hand. Hallelujah. It is an older person thing. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. So this morning, one thing powerful. Remember, be a positive persuasion. You have the power of Jesus Christ in you, the power of the Holy Spirit guiding you to help people to complete their task and to make their journey with God a blessed journey. Amen. We're supposed to not only have joy, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But don't you think happiness would be a nice quality too? I know that's a flesh quality. Amen. Because that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is not in there. Kindness is though. Yeah. Temperance, self-control, patience. All of that's in there. But I don't know about you, but I like to be happy too. Happy is when my spirit man and my flesh man, amen, agree, and my spirit man is stronger than my flesh man. And he's telling the flesh man, you agree. And the flesh man goes, yeah. Like Paul, I think myself happy. I agree. But even that which you think couldn't happen, God would use you to persuade another to come to know the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Today is a good day to accept the Lord. Today is a good day. Today is a salvation. Every day is a good day. But today we have this opportunity. Amen. And give him praise. I believe we all have a desire. And we all have a purpose. We all have a call that God has given to us. But you have to tap into God to understand what that is. I want you to just know that it was very hard wearing all these beautiful lays. And I'm overheating, but I'm thankful to the Lord for all my lays. I just want to let you know I'm thankful. I decided today to wear them. I usually take them out when I can't stand the heat because I appreciate it so much. And I really am blessed. Amen. So thank you so much for appreciating the call that God has put upon my life and what we do here. But we do love you. You are family. Family isn't a bloodline to me. Family is the DNA bloodline to Christ. Family is who God gives you. Family is those that are connected to you. Those that you're with that care about you. And some might say, I don't believe that. I surrendered my culture years ago. I don't walk by culture. I walk by the anointing of God every day and ask him for it. Not boasting. I'm saying, Lord, anoint me this day. I choose you, God. I choose your way of doing things. I put down my flesh. I know I'm not the person I should be, but I know I'm going to accomplish that to make you so joyful. I'm at the pleasure of one. I love my wife and my son, but I'm at the pleasure of one. Today, submit to be the pleasure of one to the power of Jesus Christ. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day, whether you're in the hospital, whether you're recovering, whatever you're going through. It may be that your relationship is hurting. Maybe there's a divorce going through. Maybe the kids have abandoned. Maybe some of them are running ragged. Maybe they're hooligans. Who knows? That's the actual word. Look it up. And in doing so, God says, I want to help you. But I need one person to submit unto me. I need one person to say, I will. I need one person to say, I do. And so today, that might be you. So if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you're in the room, you got Jesus in your heart, you're already motivated through the power of God. The Holy Spirit baptized you afresh to give you the understanding and the things that are needed in your life to be able to accomplish. For truly the Holy Spirit is here. Thank you, Lord, so much. But I will speak to those on camera. I will speak to those in the room that Jesus Christ is just wanting us to just say, yes, Lord. We sing the song, but do we mean it? We sing the song no matter what, but do we mean it? No matter what means no matter what. So today, choose. If you're listening, if you're in the house also, all you have to do is raise your hand to acknowledge. If you're watching, raise your hand to acknowledge. If you're watching in the archives, raise your hand to acknowledge. And God will see that hand just where you are. Just to say, yes, Lord. And just pray, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Forgive me for all I've done wrong. I receive you today, and I know that I'll never, ever be the same again. Just that simple prayer, not rehearsed, brings you into the power of the kingdom of God, relationship with God, coming to the family of God. And I thank God for you. If you need prayer, give us a call. If you don't have a church, you're in our community, come and visit us and see what God does for you. If not, give us a call. We'll help you where you are to find a church to go and worship with power and the Word and the Holy Ghost leadership. Amen? So give us a call. If the Lord touches you to give an offering, we're at wordoftruthmaui.org. We have over 20 mission outreaches that we give to. God bless you. Have an awesome day. In Jesus' name, amen.